Welcome to this Happy Home podcast. I'm Arlene Pellicane. How can you tell if your child is in danger of becoming addicted to video games? Is there anything you can do as a parent to influence your child to quit or curb gaming? Or is it a lost cause? Melanie Hempe, RN, is here to help you win this real battle in your home.
Strengthening you and your family. Welcome to the Happy Home Podcast with your host, Arlene Pellicane.
I am so glad you are here today. We're talking about one of the most important and relevant topic in the lives of young families today, and that is video games. To play or not to play. Now, to get the broader picture, I encourage you to listen to part one of today's interview with author and nurse Melanie Hempe. It's excellent. So go back and listen to that in addition to what you're going to hear today. You know, in 2011, Melanie Hempe uncovered the dark world of video game addiction for herself as she realized her own son's gaming had finally crossed the line. With her nursing background, she set out on a mission to help other families and warn them of the dangers of gaming. It began with a meeting of over 125 parents at her local school, which led to the birth of Melanie's organization, Families Managing Media. Melanie is a sought-after speaker and a national thought leader on media. Her expertise and willingness to share her personal story about her firstborn, her son Adam, is at the heart of Families Managing Media. Now, I want to start with a brief recap from our last podcast of her family's experience of gaming with her son Adam. Adam was a stellar student, respectful, well-behaved by all appearances. His video gaming in middle school seemed normal for boys, but that was about to change. Let's listen.
So as we got into ninth grade, the school issued a laptop, and that was the beginning of the end of this whole entire issue. Things became very conflicted in our home because once I no longer could control his exposure by setting the kitchen timer or, you know, different things that I would do, he just got on his laptop all the time and he would tell me he's doing his homework. Well, of course he wasn't doing his homework. He was playing video games. I was getting so frustrated. I could not wait for him to go to college. I knew the minute that he went to college, he was going to outgrow this ridiculous habit that had really torn many parts of our family connection apart. So he goes to college. I pick him up on his last day of his freshman year, and he gets in the car and he looked terrible, looks very depressed. And he said, "Mom, that game, World of Warcraft, did something to me. I have been in bed for a week and I didn't finish my classes and I'm super depressed." And I remember right where I was driving on the highway, and it just came all over me that this mystery was no longer a mystery. I knew the pain that we had been through as a family, and looking at his face and hearing the story, I was just heartbroken because I realized I missed it.
Oh, Melanie, many parents can relate to what you're saying and they've got similar concerns. Why do you think that so many girls and boys are wrestling with anxiety now compared to a generation ago? Like, why do you think teens and young adults are more stressed out than they used to be?
Children who grow up without knowing how to do their laundry and cook their meals and make their school lunches and make their dentist appointments, they're very stressed and they're full of anxiety. And of course, you know the research around that today. Everybody, all these teenagers are so stressed, and it's because they don't know how to do real life.
Yeah.
And so we have charts and we recommend all these things that our kids should be learning. And then, of course, you want to reconnect your family. Any problem right now that you're having with screen imbalance in your home can be solved by the parents spending more time with their kids. Mm. Anytime there's a screen addiction in your child, it is never their fault. Ever. It is never their fault. We've got to stop treating our kids like adults. We have to start being their parents again. And we are trying. There's so many misguided, so much misguided information saying, well, you just have to set a parental control. Well, they just can only play 20 minutes a day. Well, they can just, that's not true. That's not true. That is not best for our kids. It's just like the smoking industry years ago. Everybody thought it was okay to smoke cigarettes. And then the medical piece stepped up, and now we know it's not okay. When a child sees that their parents are spending time with them and they are important, that cures and heals so much of the damage that is done with excessive screen time. So we're all busy. We all are working. It's very hard. So that time has to be scheduled. We schedule our family time in our home now. Never did this, you know, with Adam. I never knew how important it was to do that. So those are my tips on getting someone off. If you get on their roller coaster, and if you're worried about their feelings, then it won't work. I'll be honest with you. You can't worry about their feelings. And I don't mean that coldly. I mean, as a coach, think about what a good coach does. And coaches are very, very strict, and they have very high bars. However, they are also very warm and very caring. So that's what our model is for how we reverse this. But the most important thing is to prevent it in the first place.
Yes, when they're younger. So that is so true for those of you with a 5-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old. You're thinking, oh, what's the harm? They like it so much. This is when it won't hurt them very much when you say, oh, you know what? We're not going to do that. We're going to do this instead. And they'll be like, okay. So this is the time to make that switch.
And that is our whole Screen Strong campaign. We want our kids to be strong. We want them to know how to use screens for the right reason. But in the beginning, we have to teach this. They will not naturally do this. They will always crave low effort, high reward activities, which is the definition of a screen. So you have to set these goals for your kids, and it's not being over controlling. And this is sometimes a myth that people think, well, if I don't give it to them, then I'm being the over controlling parent. It's just the opposite. Kids who grow up on screens are the ones who are missing out on life. They're the ones that look like overprotected kids because they don't have the confidence to do real life. So our Screen Strong plan says, hey, be different. Put the pause button on, delay it. And I mean delay. I don't mean, well, 2 hours a day is going to be okay, because I will tell you right now, it's not going to be okay. It's going to be very hard for them to balance other activities. And slowly over time, they will start to crave it more and more and more. So why would we even risk that? It's not worth it. So we have a very tough message. But it works. It
totally works. And so, it's hard up front, but it's easy after. Yeah. Or you can have the easy up front and the really hard after.
That's right. And you know, when you're first getting started, it's really not that hard. You go through middle school. Middle school's the hardest because our kids, what happens to our kids, right now, you have listeners out there and they're thinking, you know what? My child's in fourth grade or fifth grade, and they're really doing fine. I think they are balanced. And you can go on our website and you can take the addiction test and you can say, well, you know, they're really okay. What I'm going to tell you is that is going to change. It will change just as sure as the sun is coming up tomorrow, because our child at the age of fifth grade is very different than a seventh grader. And what happens even through eighth and ninth grade, they almost take a U-turn, and their development is reorganizing again. And so this has happened with all of my kids, where I can almost trust my fifth grader better than I can trust my ninth grader.
Sure.
Yes. Do you know what I'm talking about? If they're teething on a screen when they're little, boy, it's going to be really hard to reverse that when they get older, when you're going to need to reverse it. And then, of course, social media is a whole nother story.
I love this thing that you ask people, you know, to say, what are three things that you like more than video games? Can you just kind of talk about that idea?
So a lot of people want to find out, okay, is my kid really addicted? And do we really have a problem? And I finally came up with a quick test for parents, because who has time to read all this stuff, right? So my quick test is, can your child list three things that they like as much or more than their video game? And you think about that. And when I'm speaking in a big audience, they'll stop and I want them to write them down. And typically they can't. They can't think of three things their child likes more. But see, if they can't, then we're not imbalanced. Because balance would be maybe 25% of the time they want to play video games, even though I personally think that's way too much because of what happened to our family. However, if you want to have a little bit of gameplay, that's fine. Know that it will easily take over. Know that it will happen overnight. So if your child is balanced, they will be able to get off the game quickly when the doorbell rings, when their friend is over. They will be very easy. It'll be very easy for them to replace that screen time with one of three other activities that they really like, whether it's baseball or reading or playing the piano or running outside, or, you know, whatever it is. And the other thing that helps parents understand if their kids have problems, does your child get bored easily after, you know, a few minutes or 20 minutes or something on a video game? If they don't get bored, then that's a red flag. This is the difference between Adam's friends who were not addicted and Adam who was addicted. Adam never got bored on his video game. And I thought when he explained this to me recently, I thought, boy, that is really smart. I mean, that's a really good way to look at it. He said, Mom, my friends who didn't get addicted, you know, they just got bored. And they're
like, okay, we're done. Let's go do something else.
Yeah. So if you have a child that's like that, of course, I don't. And I don't know what that looks like, but I hear that sometimes kids get bored on video games. But see, the way they make the games today, it's almost impossible to get bored because
it's true.
A persuasive design. And that's a whole nother talk that we could do about the science behind keeping our kids hooked. And, you know, we're not against the video game companies, and I'm not vilifying any of that. The villain in our story is that dopamine addiction reward pathway. And that's what that you need to protect. That's what we need to protect in our kids. We need to really guard and be careful of the things that they're getting addicted to. I tell my audiences all the time that they come in sometime, they're a little bit guarded, they're feeling guilty. And I immediately say, there is nothing that you have done that I haven't done.
Right.
I know exactly where you are. And I have made more mistakes than everybody in this room. And I know the way my personality is, when I discover something, I just have to tell people because it's like I see the train wreck in people that do. And of course, in the last 6 or 7 years, we have families that come back all the time that say, oh my gosh, we avoided it. We avoided it. Thank you so much. And then all of our friends are addicted to Fortnite, but we're not because we came to your seminar. And it's just, I want to share as much as I can because it worked. The very wonderful thing is that I get a little bit of a do-over and I'm able now to do things differently with the boys. And that's why I tell Adam, we thank Adam for saving his brothers because now their life and their path is completely different and they are so social. And that's the biggest thing that I see the difference. They can sustain conversations with adults. They make eye contact. They're interesting kids because they get magazines and they read the newspaper and they talk and they're just balanced. They're just more well-rounded, and this is such a gift that I'm giving them, and they're not getting a smartphone. My daughter didn't get a smartphone. You know, by the way, Mom, your son is also gaming on his smartphone, just FYI, if you think that he's not, he is. And, you know, I know all the tricks, so nobody can put any of that past me. But they're not getting a smartphone. If they can get a job and buy one when they're 18, that's fine. But we have a basic phone for them, so there's talk and text, but there's no internet. And everybody kind of says, oh, well, they're not going to be prepared for the world, the digital world. And let me tell you, they're going to know those soft skills. Plus, my kids are pretty good at Excel and PowerPoint, believe it or not, because that's what we're teaching them. We're teaching them to be savvy on a screen, not to use screens for entertainment. We're doing other healthy things for entertainment instead. So we're very, very blessed to take this tragedy and just be able to turn around. And I'm so happy to talk to you today. And I hope that anyone who has questions will go to our Screen Strong website and just get more information.
Information can lead to transformation if we can take what we learn and apply it, right? So Melanie Hempe's website that she just mentioned is screenstrong.com, and I encourage you to visit it, screenstrong.com. You'll find there a warning signs quiz, information about video games, kids' brains, social media. Melanie's books include Screen Strong Solution, How to Free Your Child from Addictive Screen Habits, and her other books, Will Your Gamer Survive College? And Can Your Teen Survive and Thrive Without a Smartphone? Melanie uses her extensive background as a nurse, and she's able to explain what's happening in your child's brain in a way you will understand. So I highly recommend her books. She is teaching what isn't being taught. And this information, it needs to be shouted from the housetops and implemented in our kids' bedrooms and the basements. You know, my family, we have followed Melanie's recommendations, and I can attest it really does work. Amusement is not the highest priority for our kids. We are not cruise directors for our kids' comfort. We are to be coaches. So if you need help to get coached up, my book, Parents Rising, 8 Strategies for Raising Kids Who Love God, Respect Authority, and Value What's Right, will help you find your voice as a coach. And you can also check out my Parents Rising video series. You can test it out for free on my website at arlenepellicane.com. So if you've enjoyed the podcast, please take a moment to write a quick review. This is the Happy Home Podcast. Let's enjoy less tech and more life. And until next time, remember, you too can have a happy home.